been doing a series on prayer, and I'm probably going to just wrap it up today. There's a lot more we could do, but I feel the need that we're going to be moving on to something else. And last week, I sort of touched on some areas that we didn't go into far. And who knows, maybe that's the reason everyone skipped out on us today. Maybe I ticked them off when we started talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. No, it's people have got things going on. But I want to touch a little bit on that, and there's really a lot of ground to cover, which I know already I'm not going to get through it. But I want to touch a little bit on that, and we've been using in the Word of God. We started last week in Mark chapter 11. We're using that as the basis of our text, and we'll refer to that some more again today, I believe, as we go through the Word of God. But I want to pick up with something that I said last week as we, without taking time to do a refresh, if you missed any of it or whatever, go back and check it out online because you'll want to catch it up. So without doing like a review, we'll pick up sort of where we left off. But last week I sort of skipped the section about praying in the Holy Ghost. And just for the simple reason, I wanted to get to the end of where I needed to go last week about praying without wrath or doubting. And that's really where we ended up. We wanted to, he calls and asks you and I to pray without wrath and without doubting. And so that's where I wanted to get to last week. And I want to pick up here a little bit where, if you might remember last week, I said that, I even share with you that the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness. Or in other words, showing us, you and I, the things to come. And I told you those were sort of advertisements or commercials. And I remember I said to you that sort of it was God that invented commercials, not TV, that God does that. When the Spirit bears witness, that often it's commercials, or it'll be when you and I can see something coming about ourselves, or we can see something that God desires for us, or we capture a vision in our own mind, whether it's about our future or it's about what God has for you and I, we'll capture images of those. And if you remember, I shared this and then I skipped and moved on. I said that even God showed Joshua a glimmer of his future. And God sort of gave Joshua a commercial, so to speak, of his life. And God said to Joshua, and he told him the Holy Spirit was showing him something that he hadn't seen yet. Remember, God told him, he says, that I've given you the land. Go and possess the land. And so God showed it to him, but still Joshua had to go and actually possess the land. And that's often what God will do with you and I. He will tell you and I something. He will reveal something to us, but yet there's still a possessing that we have to put into action. And so that is the reason that I want to pick up right there. I want to pick up there because you and I need to get into the Spirit. We need to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a moment. Because when you and I are praying in the Holy Spirit, that is God, that is Him giving you and I commercials, showing you and I images or glimpses of things to come. Images sort of this is what could happen, this is what is about to happen in your life. How many of you know that sometimes if God shows you something, one of the greatest frustrating things is when you and I have a passion for something in this life and then you haven't gotten it yet. How many have ever had a dream for something or a desire for something and then you didn't get it? Or it hasn't fully manifested yet? Maybe you got a dream for he's got a great shirt on today, and you know, maybe you can have a dream to pick up a spouse of some kind. And you're desiring God for it, but it hadn't happened yet. And it's almost as if you've seen her in your prayer or in your vision or in your dreams. Or him, or depending on who you are. Or you've desired a business or whatever it may have been, and it hasn't come to pass yet, but yeah, you believe that it will be so. One of the hardest things and one of the most frustrating things is to have a passion for something and you haven't gotten it yet. And if you remember, I dropped this on you last week when God says in His Word, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Another translation, so whatsoever things you desire, this pray. And in other words, it's letting you and I know, hey, if you don't have a passion for it, don't pray there. Hear what I'm saying? That'll shock some people. He said, how did he say this again? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. In other words, whatever things you and I have a passion for, how many of you know if it's something you want it more than the person sitting behind you? If you want a business, if you want a spouse, if you want a whatever, a healing, a miracle, you'll pray like nobody else will pray. Hallelujah. There was lots of people praying for me this week, but nobody can pray maybe like I can pray. Because nobody necessarily feels how you feel. And so nobody thinks, oh, I'm laying everything on the line and I'm going to pray my way out of this. What God is saying is whatever you desire, whatever desires I've put in your heart, that's what you have a passion for. Focus on praying. He's not saying don't pray on anything else. He's saying wherever you have a passion for, you're going to pray like you don't pray in other areas. If someone asks you to pray with them over something and it's something that you don't necessarily have a passion for, you're not going to pray as fervently over it. So God's saying, in other words, another way of looking at it, God's saying is, if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. Adam, if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. In other words, he's saying, Adam, if it doesn't bother you enough to cover, you know, come to me over it, then, hey, it don't bother me. Think about that. We can look in other scriptures and we're getting there. Where he says, pray continually. This is why it's essential that we pray in the Holy Ghost. Because how many know there are things that you and I don't pray about that they bother God? There was a young man shot and killed the street behind us, what, 2 nights ago? Does that bother God? Yes, but does it bother people? See, there'll be churches that'll pray about it, and then there'll be churches that really pray about it. And the difference is God's saying, well, Adam, if it doesn't bother you, then it's not going to bother. It's not that God doesn't care. God's saying, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, or whatever things you have a passion for when you pray. You and I need to remember to pray within our passion. It doesn't mean that everything needs to be your passion, so don't feel guilty. If you don't have a burden for those sort of things, don't feel condemnation for it. You and I need to understand, and I'm going to bring this all about before you all think, oh, he's lost me already. I'll bring it home, I promise. He's saying, whatever you have a passion for, that's the lane I want you to stay in. How many have ever heard the people say, whatever it is you have a passion for, there's where your money lies when it comes to business? If you're a crafty person, they're saying that's where your business lies. They're saying don't just take any job. Take a job that you're passionate about because it's where you're going to have greater success. That's why if we don't operate within our passion, we're not going to have great success. Hello. The same thing goes with prayer. You and I are going to see greater success in our prayer life if it's regarding the things that we're passionate about. You'll pray for your child more than you will just any friend. Because you're passionate about your child. You will pray for the things that you love and hold dear and closest to your heart more than you will anything else because it's something you have a passion for. If you're a worshiper, you will put an extra effort when it comes to music and practice and all those sort of things more than any other average person will because it's something that you're passionate about. Are you following me? And so God is wanting you and I to understand what he is saying through his word when he says, whatever things you desire, Adam, when you pray, or whatever things you have a passion about, what he's saying is don't bring things up to me just because you're supposed to bring it up, meaning churchy stuff. How many know some people sound just like church people? And we say things, and there's no meaning behind it. Like sometimes people say, well, I'll be praying for you. And you know when they said they're a liar. Come on. Let's just break it down. Church people lie, Jules, all the time. Christians lie all the time. And we'll say churchy things, or we'll hear something, we'll be like, oh, hallelujah, you don't mean that. Because we're not saying hallelujah out of like, oh, almighty God, you're awesome, you're wonderful. We're just saying it because we think that's what's supposed to be said. Yeah. Or you know, preacher will be preaching, and we'll just say amen. You didn't know what he said. It's just you said amen because everybody else said amen. Or we're saying amen to things that you really don't agree with, and we just left that church a week ago because we got mad at the preacher for what he did say. Because we're churchy. And we say it, and we do things because we think we're supposed to. I like real people. I appreciate people who would tell me, you know, preacher, that wasn't my favorite. Because I learned a long time ago, you can't win them all. I used to try to preach to get people shouting, get them on their feet. And if they didn't, and if there wasn't a great altar call, I took that as, well, I failed. And then I realized something, that you can get the church on their feet. You can preach to a church of 5,000, and you can have them on their feet, and none can leave changed. What good is that? Uh-huh. So it doesn't matter to me now whether people say amen. It's nice when you all clap and stuff in the middle of a message and say amen. But it's also, you know, but if you don't, hey, that's on you. It's not an approval or disapproval of me. What I've learned is that it's more important that we not get in the habit of doing and saying things that are churchy, like standing to our feet and giving a hand clap of praise because the preacher made a good point. It's all fine and good, and I'm not being hypocritical, people who do it, but you better make sure what you're hand clapping and giving God praise for. Because whatever you're giving him praise for, there will come a test. God will bring that about in your life and say, oh, you came in agreement with my word, but let's see. And so what I found is that God is saying, when it comes to praying, when it comes to coming in alignment with his word, God's saying, don't bring things up to him just because you and I think we're supposed to pray about it. Don't come to God in prayer. When we pray as a church, sometimes we think like we've got to pray over every prayer need, all those prayer needs that are stacked up there, the hundreds that are stacked there. Do you think we could pray over all those in one service? No, but collectively, as they come in, they get prayed over. They get lifted up before heaven. But when we pray, oftentimes, I sort of reference praying to God sort of like target shooting. Praying is a lot like this, especially when we are in like a corporate prayer. Well, I think Tuesday there's prayer meeting during the day here. And so what I do in prayer meeting is I sort of just pray over a few things. I'll test right. I'll be like, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, today for Brian. Lord, I thank you today that you're touching him, that God, you're moving on him, God, whatever he's facing. And if I don't feel the Holy Spirit stirring on that, it's not that God isn't hearing that prayer and not going to bless Brian, but I know that I can have a peace. There's things okay, and I can move on. Lord, I thank you that David, and then all of a sudden maybe the Holy Ghost would move on that, and I can feel God, the Holy Spirit begin to stir me. Then I know that this is an area where God wants me to focus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so same thing, you know, you and I will go target shooting. We'll practice a few rounds, and then you get things sighted in, and boom, before you know it, you hit the target. That's sort of like it is when you and I go to prayer. We'll be praying. You'll pray over a couple things, but all of a sudden you get stirred to pray about something more specific. The Holy Spirit comes in and begins to take over and fills your mouth where it's not just, oh, Lord, bless them and keep them and watch out for them. But suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to stir and speak through you and I in such a manner, in such a method that you're praying things that you had never known that you had the ability to pray, and maybe even in the Holy Ghost. And so that's why it's important. He says, don't just bring things to me because you think you need to. That Adam, I want you to pray based on your desire. So there's been times, let me make it more plain for you. There's been times where I can play and sing and whatever. There's been times I don't like it very much. There's times I don't want to get up here and play for you. I'm like, Lord, would you get Vanessa on the piano? Anoint her fingers to play. That's true. There's every probably person that plays instruments, sometimes we can get there. And there's been times, and there's times I've just had to say to God, you know, God, I really don't want to do this. But the thing that we would often feel like we need to say is, oh, I'm just thankful, God, for my gift. Lord, give me the strength. That's what a religious, churchy person would say. Lord, just I thank you that I have the gift that, Lord, others don't have. And what you really want to say in that moment is, God, I'm not thankful that I have this gift. Lord, I really don't want to do this. God, I really don't feel like it. I don't understand why you even gave it to me because I don't appreciate it like somebody else would. Now, that makes some of you look at me crazy. Vanessa's thinking he lost his mind. But the truth of the matter is when it comes to prayer, God's saying, tell me what is on your mind. Tell me what is on your mind. He wants to be a friend that's closer than a brother. And so he says, tell me what's really going on. Don't tell me what you think I need to hear. How many of you have friends that are like that? Where you can't ever tell them the truth. You have to tell them what you think they need to hear, because otherwise they're not your friend. You can't necessarily disagree with them, because then suddenly it's a family blow-up. That we don't have the freedom to be real and be who we are. I appreciate people who I can just be real with. And I can tell them whatever my political views are, or I can tell them whatever I think about this or that, or what this sports team, and they don't look at me any different. I told somebody this week, I had a discussion. It was Monday, and I said something about the politics, and they said, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And I said, well, they said, don't think any less of me. And they said, I don't. I can appreciate that. There are some people that would write you off. Forget you. Stop coming to your church. I can appreciate that. And that's what God is saying. That's the relationship God wants you and I to have, Jules. God wants you and I to have the relationship. He says, tell me what is on your mind. Tell me what you're going through. Tell me that you're angry. Tell me that you're frustrated. Tell me that you're ready to squeeze their neck until their eyeballs pop out. That's what God wants to hear from you and I. He's saying that I'm a friend that desires to be closer than a brother. God's saying, don't give me fluff. Don't give me hype. Don't make it look pretty. Don't make it sound more Christian. Don't let me put it this way. Don't make yourself sound more saved than you are. How's that sound? You know, have you ever been in church and then it doesn't matter. It's not even all the old people, but when I grew up, it seemed like it was always just the old people that prayed. And it was all that old God Almighty. Lord, thou art so good to me. And they're praying like the King James Bible. And I remember as a kid playing with my cars and eating my Cheerios off the pew, thinking these people are boring. Church is boring. Imagine if that's how you and I had to pray to God. Oh, thou God mighty as you are, thou art God of all. Do you want to talk to that? Yeah. I like what he's saying is, pray whatever you're passionate about. Adam, tell me the desires that are in your heart. See, we grew up in church saying, tell me what you think I need to hear. Another way of looking at it is, we grew up in church when it comes to testimony time. How many of you know what testimony time is? Where you call for testimonies and people will thank God for their cat, their dog, you know, the miracle in their body. They'll thank God for whatever, you know. I've had people thank God for their cat, their dog, whatever it could be. Nothing wrong with that if it's their greatest companion. But people and testimonies aren't real either. We'll say things like this, Geneva, in testimony time. I just want to thank God that he brought me through. I want to thank God. I could put more emphasis in it, but I can't today. I just want to thank God that he healed me. I want to thank God, oh, by his stripes I'm healed. And we'll do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I get chills and thrills too, and I can get under the unction of the Holy Ghost and take a lap like the rest of you. But what you really need to say is, Lord, I want to thank you that I didn't step out of my car and hit that man in the face last night. Because we'll make it all spiritual. And the reality is God wants you not to just thank him for the little things. And we feel like thanking God has to be about this, that somehow I should just be like, God, I want to thank you that you raised me out of the hospital bed this week. No, God's saying, what did I gave you the strength to get through yesterday. that God's saying it's not just about the big things that sometimes you and I just look at. God's saying, what about the other things? What about the fact that you didn't reach across the counter behind the plexiglass shield at Walmart and slap that woman in the face when she gave you attitude? Because haven't you ever felt like that? I have. God, when it comes testimony time, those are the kinds of testimonies I like to hear from church people. Don't give me the fluff. Don't give me your dessert. Don't give me all the stuff that sounds like what we've heard all of our life that doesn't really give God praise. I want to know that God was working in your life yesterday when you were having a bad day. God needs to know it's the people sitting next to you. How many of you know that sometimes when we're sitting here, we're having a bad day, and sometimes it's good just to hear that God gave you strength not to knock the snot out of somebody else just this morning, and it will help them. Instead, we make our testimonies time and our prayer time about something that many people sitting in church chairs across America can never achieve. A relationship that seems superior and stronger than everybody else's. And God's saying, nope, I'm your brother. I'm right there with you. I'm sitting beside of you today. Adam, I was there whenever you about lost it on that woman. I was there when you wanted to wring that doctor by the neck. All of those things. And we can just say, God, I thank you that you brought me through. God, I'm thankful that I didn't kill my spouse this week. God, I'm really thankful that, you know, I only cussed twice. Do you know how many church people would never say that in a testimony, Brian? Because we think as church people, that never happens. And then everybody online is going to say, oh, it shouldn't happen. Don't be judgy. Because you got a gossiping tongue and you need delivered. I just get over that kind of thing. Don't tell me about somebody who dropped a word and then yet your tongue, you just chewed your pastor up one side and down the other and somehow that's holy. No, he ain't. God ain't in that. What I'm saying is God wants realness. That's what he's saying in your whatever you desire when you pray. For some people, that's a passion lies in them. Hey, I didn't lose it. And your testimony should be, hey, you know what? I only cussed twice last yesterday. I thank you, God, that you're renewing my mind. I thank you, God, that you're saving my mouth one day at a time. Hello. God, victory is in my mouth. You hearing me? My mic is breaking and falling apart. God, victory is in my mouth. Are you hearing me? Victory is in my mouth. We need to be able to give God praise for that. And so God's saying, hey, just bring to me the things that you're passionate about. Let me put it this way. Not one of you in here want to receive a cold kiss from anybody. How many have ever kissed someone and was like kissing a wall? After so many years of marriage, sometimes it's like that. Yeah. Nobody wants a cold kiss. In other words, God's saying, don't give me no cold kiss. Think about what I'm telling you. God wants a relationship with you. And just like our relationships on earth can get stale, your relationship with God can get stale. And God says, don't you greet me with no cold kiss. Last week, I talked to you about intimacy, into me see. God says, I want to be able to see into you. I want you to be able to see even parts of me in you, he says. So there's an intimacy there. God doesn't want you and I to just have a cold, blank relationship with him. God wants our relationship with him to be hot and steamy, to where it's exciting for you and I to come into the house of God, that prayer should be an exciting thing where when you and I pray, we're saying it's done. When we're done praying today, we need to be able to say it's done. We believe it. We call it so. Whatever that is. When I go to God and I'm done praying, I just say, Lord, it's done. I may don't see the result of it. I don't believe it, but it's done. You know, that's how I go to God in prayer. When I cover your prayer needs, some of you put prayer needs here or on the desk or you fold them up and give them to me. Whenever you do, when I pray, I just pray as if it's done. You might not feel different. You might know any different, but I pray as though it's already done because God wants that kind of relationship. He says either you're going to trust me or you're not. Let's put it in another way. How many have ever been in a relationship with someone that did not trust you? Not fun. Or maybe you've been that person that didn't trust them. Either way, it's no fun. Is it? You got to count for everything you did, where you went, how long you were there. Come on. When you're not trusting God, believing God, that's what you're doing to God. You're that person. That he is not who he says he is. Oh, wow. You got quiet. Think about it. When you pray and ask something of God, and then you try worrying it and wondering how you're going to make it work, how's this thing going to turn out and all that, you are now that person. Trusting, because when you don't trust an individual, what you're saying is I don't believe you who you say you are. Right? You're saying, you said that's where you went, but in your mind you're saying, I don't believe that. Right? And when you go to God, that's good. Thank you, Heavenly Father. When you and I go to God, and we're praying, but yet we're not really believing, we're just praying because we think that's what we need to do, or we pray and then we're trying to figure out how we're going to fix it on our own because God didn't come through yet and you're a nervous wreck. You are just like that person who says, I don't trust my spouse. I don't trust that person I'm dating. I don't trust this person in my life. You're saying, I don't trust you, God. Because I'm having to follow up on you. I'm having to look over your shoulder and see if what you said is really true. He says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have them. Believe that you have received them and you will have them. You know, all of that wasn't even what I planned to say today. I wanted to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost. Good Lord. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, really, I am. But y'all laugh at me too much. Let me say something that'll blow your minds. How many of you think that hamburgers and French fries are something special? No. David does. Nobody else. All right. Macaroni and cheese? What I'm listening to you, Cindy thinks I've lost. She said he really is low on oxygen. They're not all that special because they're part of our culture. People around the world think that when they come to America, they want a burger. They want pizza or something like that. You know, they want something that's part of our culture. Let me blow your mind with a statement. Prayer is supposed to be a part of our culture in the kingdom of God. We often in the church treat it if it's something that's up here, when it should just be part of our culture. Just like a hamburger and fries is a part of our culture. Church looks at prayer, and all the religious people are going to attack me now, because we look at prayer as that it's here. Almighty God. And God's saying, when I read the word and I study prayer, God's saying, nope, prayer is just a part of who you are. It's not to be some lofty thing that often we don't feel like we can ever reach to. There are people that would say, oh, don't ever call me to pray because I can't pray like so-and-so. False. That's not what God is saying about prayer. What God wants you and I to understand about prayer is God says everything that God is and has is available to you and I through prayer. Think about what I just said while I put my microphone back together. Lord help us. I mean, everything's breaking. There we go. Listen to what I just said. Everything that God is and everything that God has is available to you and I through prayer. Why do I say that? This scripture, Psalms 84:11. Psalms Psalms 84:11. How many of you know that there are things promised in the Word that you haven't attained yet? Would you acknowledge that there are things that God promises you and I in the Bible that you haven't received yet? All right, man, we're going to be honest today at Fresh Fire. No liars in the house today. So we got to go to the Word. Everything that God is and has is available through prayer. So if you want access to what God has, you have to pray. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will I withhold to anyone who walks uprightly. So for me, I'll use myself as an example. This week, all this I've been going through and dealing with and standing here now, just trying to bring the Word to the best of my ability. Today will be the lowest views that we've seen in months, probably, because I can't preach like I normally do. But for me to get through this week, I come back to scriptures like this when God says, this is how God desires that you pray. Where you remind God of His Word. How many remember that God, the Bible says, my word shall not return to me void. God says this, my word. So in other words, God says, when I spoke that word out into the earth and these men of God wrote this word down, this God-breathed word, I spoke that out into the universe over all of you, over all of God's people. And He says, my word that I spoke out over you will not return to me void, meaning that His word will not go back to Him until it's been accomplished. Meaning there's a lot of word that's yet to be accomplished in our midst, right here, right now, just in this place today. So when God says, no good thing will I withhold, this is why it's important that you don't believe that God's an ugly God in the heaven with a big ugly stick that wants to hurt people. You need to understand that God is a good God. We messages on that. He's a good, good Father. And this is the proof. He says, no good thing will I withhold from you and I who walk uprightly. In other words, He's saying, Adam, you just remind me of the promise I made you and it'll come to pass. So this week, all that I'm going through, I'm not relying, yeah, it's fine. I'll let the doctors play tiddlywinks and do whatever they need to do and go inside my body and look all around. They can do that. But in the middle and the underneath of it all, I pray and I say, God, I'm thankful that your word does not return to you void. And I'm thankful that God, your word also declares that you will withhold no good thing. And so, Father, I thank you that healing is not withheld from me because you promised that in your word. What am I doing? I'm reminding God of his word. Saying that, Lord, it will come to pass because your word will not return to you void. In other words, God will not be made to look like a liar. He won't. People that want to blame God for the things that are happening on this earth, then you don't understand the Bible. I'm just going to tell you now that they're not as smart as you thought you were. I like to say things like that because it makes religious people mad. It's the truth. You and I cannot blame what is happening in the earth on God. God gave us dominion. Oh, this will mess with people's theology. God created man and gave us dominion. God said, and the way that God teaches us through prayer, I'm going to run out of time. The way that God teaches us through prayer is God says, Adam, if you want me to intervene in the earth, you have to ask me. Lois, do you remember a teaching I did that God, when God created us, that we are spirit? And in order for God to operate, in order for the devil to operate in the earth legally, the devil has to use a body. Which is the same reason, in order for Jesus Christ to come, for God himself to come into the earth like he did, he had to come in the form of man. Jesus. when God created the earth. In other words, you and I have been given dominion and authority on this earth. And there's so many people that are crying out and saying, God, why did you allow? I don't understand God. Why God? He didn't. We did. Let me tell you how, because we haven't covered it in prayer. It is not God causing people to shoot one another. You know what it is? It is man. Man who didn't train up a child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they're departing from it. That's the root right there. God says, I gave you dominion over the earth, Adam, and you messed it up. And the only way I can intervene in the earth is if you invite me. Is if you ask me. I like to put it this way. The hand of God cannot move on the earth unless you ask it. A lot of people think that God is in the heavens and he's going to do exactly what he wants to do and that he's like the great manipulator. No. That is not what the Bible says. That God is involved in our life through prayer the same way that we get saved. How do we get saved? Romans 10 and 9. The Bible says what? That we have to confess our sins to the Lord. We have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Invite him in. Pray the prayer of salvation. So you don't get saved without asking any more than you're going to, than this earth, this world is going to get saved without asking. We've got to invite him in. We've done a great disservice. It's not any one political person's fault. It's not our own local authority's fault. However, it is to the degree that it is our fault, the church, because the power lies in the church. I like to teach this, as you and I need to understand the outcome of any election, the outcome of our nation, the outcome of this world is the power is held in the hands of the church. You and I, God says, that's why he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's talking about your dominion. Think about that, Jules. It's another example. God says, tell me what you want, and I will make it happen. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a minute. I've prayed, and I haven't seen it. Because you know why it didn't happen? Because you didn't pray understanding your authority. Goes back to what I said last week. Where there are people that will pray in the Holy Ghost to build themselves up. There will be people who not. It comes back to, can God trust you with that kind of power? It comes back to, have we crucified our flesh enough that God can trust you with that kind of power where you can ask him and tell him what you want and he will do it? An old song we used to sing back in the day of Pentecostal church was Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want, call him up, tell him what you want. It's true. That's the God that we serve. He says, I want you to tell me what you want, and I will do it. The difference is, remember, I said that God was talking to people that has been rescued from sin, a people that isn't living a carnal life, doing whatever they want to do. God can't give power to that, because that kind of power will be destructive. God says, I need to give power to people who will be built up, who will edify. So all that God is, all that God has, is available to you and I through prayer. If you want access to who God is, if you want access to what God says, he says, no good thing will I withhold to anyone who walks uprightly. No good thing will I withhold. I love that. It means whatever God promised you and I, it's ours right now. Did he promise you healing? Yes. Did he promise you deliverance? Yes. We were singing earlier, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That he sets you and I free. Liberation, total liberation. Whatever it is that God has promised you and I, it is ours. He says, I want you to own it. I want you to receive it. I want you to know good thing. So the method to know whether God wants you to have it is it good? Yes, then he wants you to have it. Then ask him. Tell him you want it, because he's a good father. Amen? I'm going to stop there, because if I go, I didn't even get into praying in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't plan on saying none of what I said to you today. None of it. But I'm going to stop there because I need to. And I think it's important that we you hear that last point, no good thing, because we're going to pray in a few moments, and every prayer need that's come in by the internet, every prayer need that I have sitting up here on the pulpit, we're going to pray over and believe God, because no good thing is He withholding. And so if you are in need of prayer today, and you need to receive something that God says is a good thing, then we're going to pray and believe God for it. Today, together in this place, I'm going to ask everybody who's at home and everybody that's in this place, you can continue to pray and believe God for me as we go before and see what is going on. I'm thankful that God has given me strength, and that I'm thankful that He didn't allow me to collapse on the floor today while I'm talking to you. I'm thankful for all of those things. I'm thankful that He wakes me up again another morning. Amen. But I want you and I to also be real, not just in our thanking, but real in our praying. As I said earlier, I want you and I to be real in our praying, that whatever it is that you and I stand in need of, whatever realness that we're dealing with in this life, that we can be real with God. And so we're going to cover our prayer needs, all of these things in prayer today, and believe God. And we've gotten quite a few of them, and we're praying for somebody's arthritis, and we're still praying for someone. This came in the other day, but we're praying for someone who's going to the doctor and awaiting results. And likewise, and hallelujah, this person, Phil, we thank you for your prayer request. He's got several things going on. And we're just going to believe God. No good thing's going to be withheld from him. Hallelujah. Lots of other needs as we pray together today in this place. Almighty God. Pray for everybody who's missing today. Pray for people online. If you're online and you can't send your prayer need, just say, pray for me, because we'll see your name. Hallelujah. We'll give people a couple seconds to send them in. Pray for me. Just say me. Hallelujah. We're going to build ourselves up in prayer, praying even in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to pray. We're not going to. If you need specific prayer, you need us to pray the prayer of faith and agree with you, you can come. We'll pray with you right here. Lay hands and believe God. We'll pray for you right where you're at as well. But let's just lift our hearts before God this morning. Hallelujah. We've been talking about prayer over the last number of weeks, and now we're going to put it into action. Glory to God. So would you pray with me? Don't just listen to me pray, but would you really pray with me? Hallelujah. As we call out towards the heavens. Father, we bless you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, today, great and mighty God that you are. Lord, we're thankful today, God, for your strength and your goodness. God, we're thankful, and Lord, we're grateful today, Lord, for how mighty you are. God, we are thankful, and Lord, we're grateful that, Lord, you've brought us to this point. God, I'm thankful that, Lord, you brought us through the week. I'm thankful and grateful that, Lord, you have strengthened us and empowered us. God, I'm thankful and grateful today that, Lord, you are in our midst, that, Lord, even earlier when we were singing, that, Lord, you reign in this place. And so, Father, we just recognize that. We recognize you, Almighty God, that you are. And Lord, we call upon you. God, I'm thankful for your word today. And I cover the people that are under the sound of my voice today when your word says, no good thing will be withheld from those who are walking uprightly. Father, I pray in the name above every name, Jesus Christ, that God, that you will hear and see and answer the prayers of people that are calling upon you and lifting up their voices before heaven today. Father, I'm thankful today that God, whether it's healing, God, whether it's deliverance, Lord, whether it's freedom, Lord, maybe a miracle of some kind, Lord, something emotional that's going on in their life, God, maybe it's just a bad day. God, your word says that no good thing will be withheld. And so, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would see the goodness of God released over your people right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm thankful for every person, Lord, in these prayer requests, God, every person under the sound of my voice in this room and online today, that God, that needs you, that says, I need a healing, I need a miracle, God, I need a fresh and mighty touch from you. You said no good thing, and you said that, God, your word would not return to you void. And so, Father, do what only you can do. God, you are not you do not lie. You're not a man that you would lie. And so, Father, we just receive miraculous healings today in the name of Jesus. We receive, God, deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, we receive everything that, Lord, your word has promised us today in and by and through prayer, through our belief. You said whatever we desire, when we pray, believe. And so, Father, we believe in you. We're trusting in you, God, for people that are awaiting results, for people that have gotten biopsies, God, for people that are just in the in-between stage. God, we don't know anything, but the only thing we do know is your word. So, Father, while we're waiting on a doctor, perform your work. While we're waiting on a test result, while we're waiting on a biopsy, while we're waiting on the evidence to be proven in a test, God, just do your work. Because you said no good thing would be withheld. So, Father, reveal your power. Reveal how miraculous you are. Demonstrate your love, God, through us. Demonstrate your love, oh God. Now demonstrate your power, your healing, God, in this place in our lives. God, I thank you that every heart that is heavy, every mind that is preoccupied, God, every person that's struggling and battling any capacity, Lord, no good thing are you withholding. I thank you for it. God, I praise you for it. And God, I believe in your word today. Cover these people. Bless your people today. God, keep us safe over the holiday weekend. I thank you that, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we do as we travel, that, Lord, you wrap around and you keep your people safe in the name of Jesus. Now, freedom is in this place. Lord, we receive from the heavens, Lord, what you have for us. Do miraculous things in our bodies. Do miraculous things in our minds. Do miraculous things in our relationships and our families right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we're going to leave this place. People are going to give online and in this room today. God, as we do, would you bless it, multiply it, bring increase to their life and their bodies. I pray that, God, whatever they sow, God, we multiply back to them 100-fold in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every obligation we have is met in Jesus, your mighty name. God, as we give to you, you give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We love you, and God, we praise you, and we honor you today in the mighty and powerful, great name of Jesus Christ. We love you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.